This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
The key to having a great day starts with having a great night's sleep, and I know because I have a Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all of the support that you need and guarantee that you get the best night's sleep ever. Time magazine named Casper mattress one of the best inventions of 2015. Casper ships for free in a box so small you won't believe it holds the actual mattress, making it simple to get from your front door to your bedroom. And you try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll come and pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine, and they'll refund every single dime. Once you try it, you're never going to want to sleep on anything else. Having a great day by having a great night's sleep. Casper.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn, $50 off the purchase of your mattress at Casper.com/Glenn. The promo code is Glenn. Don't forget, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply.
Hello, America, and welcome to the program. Just reviewing Rand Paul on the State of the Union yesterday. He was talking about the repeal and replace, and Justin Amash went on a tweet storm about what are we going to do with Obamacare. He is voting against not the repeal. He's voting against the way it's being done, and it's a conversation that we need to have right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mixed bag of Republicans vote against Obamacare repeal vehicle. That's the story. And most Republicans are saying, well, because there wasn't a replacement. There was just a repeal. Well, but there wasn't a repeal. There wasn't a repeal. This was just this was just something that said we can later vote to repeal it when we're ready. But they tucked it inside of this massive spending package. It is it's the latest budget, and it is the worst budget, some claim, that we have ever passed. It adds $9 trillion to the debt. $9 trillion.
And I believe it, the number is 9.7 trillion, which your just little summary there just left off $700 billion.
Unbelievable.
When you get to these numbers, it is incredible what you can just round away as a rounding error. It's incredible.
Okay, so Justin Amash went on a tweet storm. I'm going to just give you the tweets. Confused on what the House voted on today? You're not alone. I hope you'll find this explanation in the following tweets helpful. Two. There's been a lot of crazy or lousy reporting and intentional misrepresentation from the partisans on both sides. Today, we voted on the most massive budget in U.S. history. It's been misleadingly described as the Obamacare repeal vote. It is actually a budget resolution that proposes adding more than $9 trillion to the debt over the next decade. Does that extra debt come from repealing Obamacare? No. The budget doesn't even mention Obamacare, and it doesn't repeal it. Six tweet.
Think about that. It doesn't mention
Obamacare and it doesn't repeal it. And yet it's known as the Obamacare repeal vote. Patriot Act. Later, budget includes reconciliation instructions to allow Congress to bring later a bill to repeal part of the Obamacare plan with a simple majority. But these instructions can be included in any budget. It's not necessary to pass this particular budget, aka worst budget ever. Partisans on both parties like to describe the vote as an Obamacare repeal vote rather than the budget vote for obvious reasons. Republicans don't want their voters to know that they voted for the most massive budget ever. Democrats want their voters to think it's all about stopping Republicans from repealing Obamacare. Reporters are fixated on the sexy angle, which is the misleading angle that most of the politicians are talking about, Obamacare. So my no vote does not mean I oppose repealing Obamacare. Sorry, Democrats. That's not what today's vote was about. My no vote was about standing up for limited government and fighting for the next generation. It was about stopping a never-balanced budget. We can't afford more spending and more debt, regardless of whether it's demanded by a Republican president or a Democratic president or a Republican president.
Pretty strong.
And how do you argue with that?
I know. I mean, and it is amazing that that is how it's being reported. It's not talking about the $10 trillion of extra debt. It's talking about that they could theoretically repeal Obamacare in the future. How is that the most important detail of a $10 trillion budget?
Massey said he would vote against the budget resolution because of the estimated $9.7 trillion it would add to the national debt. He said his fiscal conservative colleagues who voted yes because they only saw the budget as a vehicle to get Obamacare repeal will regret it. We have a Category 5 hurricane coming in. When you have to reduce to practice the differences between Donald Trump's agenda and Paul Ryan's, I think there's going to be some very confusing votes in here. And then Amash said what he said. A lot of people fell for what I call, we have to have dinner tonight in Paris, France, or we're going to starve. No, you can have dinner someplace else. Have you seen the replacement?
Where else could you have dinner other than
Paris? Place.
I don't even know if they have food anywhere else.
Oh, no, the rest of the world is a food desert.
I mean, yeah, or not good food, at least. Paris is the only place with really delicious French food. So it's totally misleading.
What are the replacements look like?
Well, quickly, what we're seeing here, there's obviously some comments that were made this weekend talking about more larger government health care. Look at the difference that has happened. This is from March 2016 to January 2017 among Republicans. The support for the idea that it is the government, federal government's responsibility to make sure all Americans have health care coverage.
This pisses me off.
Was 19% last year.
Can't take it.
And it's gone up to 32%.
I can't take it.
Okay, so close to doubled in support in 1 year. Among low-income Republicans, it was 31%, and now it's 52%. Guys, the majority of low-income Republican voters believe the federal government, it is their mandate to make sure every American has health care coverage. That happened in 1 year. One freaking year.
Yeah, the lead guy of party was an advocate for it.
So is that Republicans or does that include independents?
It is Republicans and Republican leaners.
Jeez.
And you know the amount of people who believe it's Republican or it is the government responsibility among all voters has gone up from 40s to 60. I mean, it's increasing, which is amazing because people don't like. I mean, there's a lot of opposition to Obamacare specifically. However, and this has been reported by some sources, some of that opposition is they don't think it went far enough, and we're seeing that much more among Republicans now. Where before it was sort of isolated to the Democratic side. So I don't know if these...
You've been a little ray of sunshine today.
Yeah, you really have.
You really have.
You've been Debbie Downer.
You used to call me Little Black Rain Cloud?
Yeah. You're a big Black Rain Cloud now.
Yes, I'm trying to be.
You have to say, though, if we're gonna, why stop at healthcare? Why isn't it even more important to eat? Mm-hmm. Why is it not the government's responsibility to provide food for everybody who
shelter?
Can't afford it.
Well,
shelter
for everybody who can't afford it. Why aren't we doing the Soviet Union's constitution now and being a nation of with a charter of positive liberties? Why don't we say yes to health care? Yes to government provided minimum wage, a minimum income, not just a wage, but at least $30,000-$35,000 a year for everybody because you can't live on anything less than that.
Gotta have the income. And that's crazy thinking that we'd be the Soviet Union, but yes, I agree with everything else.
Right. I know.
It's amazing. And look, it goes back to what we've talked about for a very long time. You have to have a foundation or the whims of the moment will move you by 20 points as a society over a 1 year period on an issue. You have to actually know why you think the things you think. Or this stuff will happen to you all the time.
No, those aren't popular.
Those things aren't popular. They aren't.
I'm just being you.
No,
off air today, all day long, you've been like, we're doomed.
Well, you said
there's no way of.
Well, you said little black rain cloud. Most of that was off air, to be fair. I didn't expose that to the poor audience and beat them into the ground.
What was it you said about an hour ago? Oh, maybe we all want to go out and hang ourselves. It was
nothing I said off the air should ever be on the air. So,
well, you were saying something about stuff like this that people don't care. Well, people don't. We used to think that half the country was against stuff like this.
Well, they cared about principles. That they cared about, you know, constitutional principles.
Right. They don't.
They don't.
They don't.
And there's just there's a larger societal thing going on in that forever, as long as I've been alive, there were punishments to individuals in politics and public life for taking one stand 6 months ago and completely reversing yourself 6 months later because the tides have changed or whatever. Now, obviously, there are things where information can change that, but that's not government health care didn't become a wonderful idea in the last 6 months. There used to be a punishment for all those activities. And I think my theory is a lot of it is sort of social media related in that, now everyone is on social media and sees 12, 15, 20 times a day. You see someone post a politician or a host's old tweets, and then they're saying the exact opposite today. And I think we've just been beaten with that for so long. It's no longer notable for someone to be a complete hypocrite 6 months away from another opinion. I mean, an example that we all can love and cheer on was Paul Krugman, who throughout the Obama administration wrote at least four columns entitled, let's see if I can just bring it up here real quick, Debt Doesn't Matter Anymore, I believe was the name of it, as I'm trying to find it.
And I know we talked mm-hmm. about that mm-hmm. at the time.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden, what was, under George W. Bush, treasonous. It was treasonous. Mm-hmm. I believe that was Barack Obama who said that. Treasonous to have this kind of debt and not care. And say that it wasn't a problem. And then when he doubled the national debt in 8 years, nobody cared. Now, all of a sudden, people like Paul Krugman are freaking out about the debt.
Yeah, it was, no one understands debt. We need more debt. More debt. I believe it was 5 months ago he said, we need more debt. Time to borrow was the title of the column. January 9th, 2017, his column entitled Deficits Matter Again.
Again.
Again. So they didn't matter throughout the entire Obama administration. And then a week before Donald Trump takes office, they now matter again. That used to ruin a career.
Why?
That used to be something that you'd never recover from. John Kerry, one of the big moments in his campaign was, I voted for it before I voted against it. That doesn't matter to anybody anymore. I mean, that is not something that even registers with the
Why
American
people.
Why do you
think people. That is?
I think the social media thing has something to do with it in that. It's the same thing with why people are so rude at times. It's lost its impact. You know, people are you get so many death threats on Twitter. Death threats don't make news to you anymore. You know, and I think the same thing happens with this. I can go online almost every day and find a dozen examples of some smart blogger or reporter going through and finding a tweet from some major public figure where they were saying the exact opposite of what they said today. And it happens so often, it has lost its impact. And I think at some level has convinced people, well, that's just what people do. There aren't any people who believe in anything anymore. There isn't anyone who cares about principle. Society has stopped rewarding principled behavior and has gone the opposite direction.
How do you fix it?
You turn the society off and then you go home and never think about it again. And then at some point you die.
Seeing that's not...
That's good.
The best
That's
idea.
It's beautiful.
It is an idea, and it's I appreciate idea. That idea. And I feel you feel that idea. And your feeling of that idea is valid.
Oh, thank you. Now, wow, now I feel much better about the
now,
BS you're about to hit me with.
That's a stupid idea.
It is, yes.
So seriously, how do you repair it?
I mean, these are
the conversations that the mainstream media should be having about their careers right now. How do we repair this? Not, well, it's their fault. It doesn't matter.
They're not, because they don't see the problem. I don't think they see this problem yet.
Oh, they know they have no credibility.
I don't know if they do.
Oh, I think they do. I think they know they're in trouble.
I'm not convinced they think they have a problem.
Wait. They see the problem of their credibility. They just, so far, are blaming that problem on everything else. They're not taking any of the blame.
Right.
So you can't help an alcoholic who's like, I'm only drinking. Right. Daddy's only drinking because you cry, kids. Mm-hmm. You stop crying, Daddy would stop beating you. Mm-hmm.
I honestly think, first of all, you can't care about the societal aspects of this, really. You have to do it on your own. I mean, you've talked about this a million times. It's about changing yourself and caring about your family rather than giant society. But I used to, a long time ago, date a girl who had a bunch of tattoos. And at one point I asked her, I said, you know, when you get old, like these tattoos, you're going to have, it's going to be wrinkled tattoo fest everywhere. You realize that, right? And what she said was, yeah, but by the time that I grow old, lots of people are going to have wrinkled tattoo fest and it won't be a big deal anymore. And I think that, there's truth in that, mm-hmm. in a weird way, that like...
I'll send you a link.
No, I don't want to see any of the links, any of the pictures. But I think that there's a truth.
You probably have a link to that too.
Oh, absolutely.
Really old, creepy people with tattoos.
Oh, you know he does.
Yeah.
A link. He's got several sites he's developed based on that.
I saw a picture. I don't know where I was. I saw a picture of a really, really old guy who must have lost a lot of weight. And he must have been in his 80s. And he had tattoos that may have one time been up as his bicep that were no longer really at his bicep. It was creepy and weird. Just want to say.
Yeah, you're probably at Jeffy's
side. You came across my lane.
Yeah. Just saying, yeah. Okay, anyway.
But I think that's, you have to, the only way I can get through the day going through social media is that I don't care about it. People are like, oh, well, I bet I got you on that point. Okay. I never care
if you get me on some point
that you think you've changed my life and my perspective based on your tweet. I promise you I don't care about it.
I had an epiphany on this last week. Yes. I had an absolute epiphany on this last week. I'll share it with you in a second. First, if your hiring process consists of juggling emails and calls to your office, stop. Use ZipRecruiter right now. Quickly scan the candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find the top quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the top sites. And right now you can. ZipRecruiter. Post your job at 200 plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find the candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidate roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. Right now, you can post all of your jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The key to having a great day starts with having a great night's sleep, and I know because I have a Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all of the support that you need and guarantee that you get the best night's sleep ever. Time magazine named Casper mattress one of the best inventions of 2015. Casper ships for free in a box so small you won't believe it holds the actual mattress, making it simple to get from your front door to your bedroom. And you try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll come and pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine, and they'll refund every single dime. Once you try it, you're never going to want to sleep on anything else. Having a great day by having a great night's sleep. Casper.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn, $50 off the purchase of your mattress at Casper.com/Glenn. The promo code is Glenn. Don't forget, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply.
888-727 back.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
We have somebody from Canada we want to get to here in just a second on the phone. Your comments, 888-727-BECK. Stu was just talking about you have to not care anymore. To be able to manage online, you have to not care.
Yeah.
This weekend, somebody wrote, or maybe it was early last week, somebody wrote about this Tucker Carlson interview that I did. Apparently, Tucker wrote me this weekend, said it was the most watched or most downloaded video clip of the week.
Oh, nice.
He said, by far, on FoxNews.com. Great. I'm happy. Some people took his interview as hostile. that he was asking really hostile questions.
Huh. And who could have thought that?
You did.
That's interesting. And
in the old days, you know, I might have thought that too.
Fascinating. Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, because somebody said, hey, what really nice handling. Well, huh? It was a hostile question. And I thought to myself, Yeah, I guess they were. I guess you could perceive it that way. But I didn't, because I don't care. I was willing to answer every question and not defend myself. Just,
Yeah, for sure. And that you weren't
that's
worried
about
losing.
That's how it came
losing.
Off, too.
Yeah.
So that's good.
And so there was no fight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If he intended, and I don't think he did. I mean, he's written several times. I've written to him several times. You know, I don't know if he was looking for a fight, but it didn't happen. and it was good. And it worked out good for him, worked out well for me. And the secret is, and I know that everybody has always said this to me, Glenn, just why do you care? Why do you care? I don't know, because I do. I think I've finally gotten into a place to where, nah, I really don't anymore.
Don't care.
Uh-uh. No.
Yeah. Mm. Someone tweeted me the other day and said, there's Russian proof that Glenn Beck is a gay prostitute and that Pat and Stu are his gay pimps. To which I responded and I said, are you, for clarification, are you saying that we are both gay and are pimps and just that just happen to be gay? Or are you saying that we're pimps that only like
trafficking gay people?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No clarification on that, unfortunately, came. Mm. But I mean, you don't care. Those things don't bother you. You have to Bill Belichick it a little bit. Bill Belichick, of course, as you know, Glenn, great
coach
the best,
of the
New England Patriots.
New Patriots, yeah.
But so there was this controversy about using social media among players, and he just said, yeah, as you know, I'm not on Snapface and all that, so I don't really get those.
Snapface.
I'm not really worried about what they put on Instant Chat. I don't know what those things are, but he doesn't care.
Amen.
And better for him for it.
Yep. Yep.
Snapface.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
We're just sitting here bitching about Apple and Apple products. Pat will not switch over to Apple.
Not for the computer, huh?
Yeah. I mean,
I was that way for a long time.
Me too.
And then I eventually just like, all right.
Me too. And I like it. I love Apple products.
I had so many problems with my PCs over the years.
I like the iPhone and the iPad, but for the laptop, it doesn't work for me. Just because of what I do, and first of all, I am set in my ways, and I don't want to learn a new system. And every time I use my wife's computer, which is Apple, everything's upside down to me. And I just can't.
Yeah, I did that too. You have to force yourself to say I'm going to take 3 months.
Yeah, and I don't want to.
And
I don't want to.
Yeah, I think it's worth it, except for the cords.
And you can't get like I still like the CD player in it. I still like that feature in the PCs. And it's not compatible with the audio system here.
I like record players in mine, but
I know. I know.
But
I know.
I can't tell you how many words that I should not use that I used on the Apple Cord system this weekend.
The Apple Cord system?
Apple Cord system? You know, the system that they have where they make a 3-foot cord and nobody sits 3 feet.
Well, you may not sit. I think this is federal law. You may not sit more than 3 feet from a wall.
Well, no, you have to sit up against the wall because it has to be 3 feet up to your lap.
Yeah.
So you have to have your back against the wall.
If you really do.
No, I see these people in the airport who apparently love to sit on the floor near the outlet. Yeah. I'm not one of them.
Yeah. Me neither.
And I don't have a problem. Here's my real problem. Apple won't sell me a damn Apple cord. There's no option. Would you like a longer cord?
Can you imagine?
Would you like to be a real human being?
What would a longer Apple cord cost? $900?
And I'd pay it.
I know.
I'd pay it. I am so sick and tired of buying cords that don't work with. Sorry, not. I've purchased a cord at Apple and then had it come up. This application not available on the. I bought it from Apple.
Yeah.
I can't take it. I can't take it.
I originally purchased a long cord from the Apple store. which, yes, I paid approximately $875 for. But it's really long. It's really nice. Like, but I mean, again, it's an investment.
It sounds like it's like Donald Trump describing
the greatest quote of all time.
It's really great. It's long.
I got it.
It has electricity. It works.
It's a beautiful cord.
Beautiful cord.
It's like it's like rope almost. Like the material is almost like it's like a rope. It's weird, but it's very. You can walk halfway across the room. And
You're kidding.
And it works. It actually worked, because a lot of times you go on an Amazon, for example, and I purchase a lot of long cords to fit Apple products for Amazon, and then you go back, you plug them in, and they either don't work or they work for a week and stop. I feel like with Apple, they're so weird, you have to actually go inside the store and purchase it from them. And even then, it's only about 75% chance it's actually going to work.
Yeah, I did that. It didn't work. It did not work. And I can't take it. So, because I read in bed. And so I read. Mm-hmm. If I don't have an outlet in my pillow,
right?
I can't plug it in. Yeah.
That is
the problem
I look to solve, and it's solved.
Oh,
so I will give you.
I want to know the name of the cord. I want your personal guarantee.
Is it under $900? A little
bit.
Well,
he said 875.
We took out a second mortgage to get it paid for.
Do you know that Steve Jobs was not a billionaire because of Apple?
That's because he didn't invent the plug and a pillow.
Yeah, I know. I know. He could have been. That's not where he really made his money.
We had to make some of it from there. I mean,
He did.
At the end.
He took his investment. He got $50 million in Apple stock when he left.
I know he invested in Pixar.
He took it and put it all in Pixar.
Yeah, I knew that.
So he made $50 million from Apple. He checked out. And he invested it all in Pixar. When he died, he was the largest shareholder of Disney.
Wow.
Think of that.
Wow.
Jeez.
Think of that.
It's a couple pennies.
I mean, that's absolutely amazing. We have a special. This is, this is a Woody doll signed by John Lasseter. We're doing a special on John Lasseter. John Lasseter is the managing partner. He is the heart behind Pixar.
Right.
We have a special on John Lasseter and Bill Gates, and tying the two stories together, or not Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, tying the two stories together is absolutely incredible. When you see where each of them were in their career, right time, right place, right message, it's unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable. And what they built on really a roll of the dice that no one saw besides Steve Jobs.
The Pixar story is a great one. It's an incredible story.
The Apple story, not so great because of the damn short cord. But I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a Woody doll. I'm surprised that you didn't pull a string on the Woody doll and say, reach for the... I guess we should make the string a little longer, huh, Steve? Anyway. All right, what else do we have to sweep up on here?
You teased the story about the European Union already rights to robots, which is, they call them electronic personhood. Electronic personhood.
Okay, so if you saw AI... This has now happened. Remember AI?
Or iRobot was good.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
iRobot.
iRobot had the three rules. And the first one was you couldn't hurt a human.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do everything to save a human, right?
Was that? Yeah.
Right. And
then you can't allow humans to get harmed.
Yeah, you can't allow humans to get harmed. And you can't
harm yourself or allow yourself to be harmed unless it violates the first two.
Right.
Something.
Can't do anything that violates the first two or something. Yeah. Something. And I thought, well, I hope we're having that discussion someplace. Well, we actually did. The European Parliament voted last week to legally bestow electronic personhood to robots.
Electronic personhood.
Unbelievable.
So this goes to Ray Kurzweil saying that there will be more attorneys for computers by 2050 than there will be than there are for men today. Think of that.
Mm.
You're going to be, one of these days, you're going to be in court against a computer. The status includes a list of rights, responsibilities, regulations, and a kill switch. They voted 17-2 to a draft report, believes bots, robots, androids, and other manifestations of artificial intelligence will spawn a new industrial revolution. They look to govern the AI behavior. Three laws of robotics from Isaac Asimov. A robot may not harm humanity by inaction or allow humanity to come to harm. That's now part of the EU's law. The rules also affect the developers, who have to engineer the robots in such a way that they can be controlled. This includes a kill switch, a mechanism by which rogue robots can be terminated or shut down remotely.
Yep, that worked good in iRobot,
didn't it?
Unfortunately, there is a possibility that within the space of a few decades, AI could surpass human intellectual capacity in a manner which, if not prepared for, could pose a challenge to humanity's capacity to control its own creation and consequently, perhaps its own capacity to be in charge of its own destiny and to ensure the survival of the human species. That is in a government document now? The report also notes the potential for increased inequality in the distribution of wealth and influence. If machines produce everything we need, the outcome will depend on how things are distributed. Everyone can enjoy a luxurious, leisurely life if the machine-produced wealth is shared, or most people can end up miserably poor if the machine owners successfully lobby against wealth redistribution. So far, the trend seems to be towards the second option, with technology driving ever-increasing inequality. Oh, boy. We have so many things, so many new reasons for wealth inequality and wealth redistribution that are headed our way that nobody has even thought of yet.
Nice to see the EU leading the way on that, too. That always leads to goodness.
Yeah,
right,
the only
there.
Thing that could be possibly better is if the United Nations did it.
Right, right.
Then it'd be great.
A couple other things for the inauguration as we get closer. Donald Trump, they're putting together all the events and everything. Workers for a Virginia company supplying portable toilets for his inauguration.
Yeah. Please tell me they're not boycotting.
They're a little upset.
They were a little upset. The company name was being covered up on all the toilets.
What's the company?
Right. The company name is Don's Johns.
Oh, my gosh.
So, it's completely unrelated to Donald Trump, but because the name was Don's Johns, they thought it would be kind of embarrassing at this really regal event that, the guy on stage, that they would kind of look like he just put a bunch of Johns out there.
I wonder if John F. Kennedy did that with Port-a-John.
Yeah, probably not. Sadly, we are seeing a major entertainment collapse here for the president. I know, he's very upset. However, this part is really bizarre. The B Street Band has pulled out. The B Street Band has pulled out of the upcoming performance.
But it's not the E Street. It's not the E Street.
No.
Because the E Street Band would not perform.
I was shocked that they were going to and then pull out. But this is not the E Street. Who is the B Street Band?
The B Street Band is a Bruce Springsteen cover band that they had brought in to actually play for the inauguration.
So now even that's how much they're alike. They've covered the E Street so well that they're even doing a cover of their not playing the inauguration.
That's exactly it. I guess they initially were going to do it for, the office. We respect the office. But now they've been beat up apparently by their fans so much they've decided to pull out of the inauguration events. So no Bruce Springsteen cover bands if you're going to D.C.
You see Toby Keith?
Yeah.
Toby Keith is like, look, I played for Obama. I played for Bush. I'll play for this guy. It's the president of the United States.
It doesn't surprise anyone that he would play for Donald Trump.
Same thing with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I support the Mormon Tabernacle Choir going. Absolutely. It's the president of the United States. Why not? Do you see the woman who said she has to leave the Mormon?
The
she quit the choir, which is a really big deal.
Once you get there, you don't do that.
There's a waiting list,
years, decades. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just don't get that honor to sing with the choir. And she was part of it, and she backed out. She said, I can't live with myself if I go. I can't make this happen. I can't put these two together. And mm-hmm. I don't think she's a fan of mine. And I wrote her a letter and said, hey, look, I never heard back from her, but I wrote her a letter and said, you know, while I don't necessarily agree with you, congratulations for taking a stand. And the same thing to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir for going. Congratulations for taking a stand. Is this what we're supposed to do? Why are we demonizing each other for this? The thing I don't like about the bans is it's all groupthink. It's all groupthink. How many of these bands, how many of these people, if they weren't living around all of the people that they're living around, would still be doing this? How many would go, oh, he's the president. I think it's kind of cool. I'll play.
Yeah, a lot.
You can answer this pretty clearly in the fact that Donald Trump hasn't always been president or president-elect. And hey, these bands all played at his places.
Sure,
they all went to his casino. They all took his money when he was the same person that he is today.
Yep.
They all had
their picture taken.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And then it's the second that now he's, you know, a Republican president-elect, they all, you
He
know,
should release the pictures of him with all of these
shows.
He should.
That'd be just like him.
He should.
This would be a great
that's
move.
That's the use
That'd
of Twitter.
Great.
Release all of the pictures with you with all of these stars that now hate your guts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You should do that all Inauguration Day. Might cheapen the office a bit, sure. Now this. Last week, we discussed the World Bank's economic report. This week, it's the International Monetary Fund. Here's the headline. IMF upgrades U.S. growth forecast as Donald Trump reshapes global outlook. Thanks to the president's, or the incoming president's plans to cut taxes and boost infrastructure spending, the IMF is saying, hey, there's some economic growth here for the U.S., the output, according to the IMF, nearly half a percentage point faster than they thought this time last year. Now, with that knowledge, what do? Well, you also look at what does that mean? When the economy starts to grow, we are going to have to raise interest rates to suck back all of this money. This has never been done before. Can it happen? Sure, it could. It's never been done before. Has to be done exactly right. And what does it mean if it doesn't? Hyperinflation and a collapse of the system. 10% of your investment as a guard against hyperinflation or massive inflation that we're seeing now on the stock market, I think it's a pretty good idea. But you do your own homework. Read their important risk information. Find out if buying gold, silver, or platinum, which is cheaper now, this is crazy, than gold. Call them, 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. You know, I'm so disappointed in John Lewis and anybody else who's not going to the inauguration. If you're a member of Congress, you go. It's a president. It is part of the peaceful transfer of power. This is, you're going because of the office, not because of the man.
I guess I can see that argument. I mean,
let's say you as a citizen may or may not go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you are a congressman, do you not think you should go?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a congressman, you probably do for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
Peaceful transition of power.
Right.
You don't want to deal with the fallout.
Right.
There's a lot of that. No, I was actually talking about, you said you were disappointed in John Lewis. And at this point, I can't understand how anyone could be disappointed in him. I mean, this is what he does.
You expected a standard.
Right? Like, this is what he does. Like, you know, they said the same thing about John McCain. No one had any trouble criticizing anything that John McCain did, even though he was a war hero. You do something.
Yeah, I'm tired of this. It's not a shield. Rand Paul said it best. It doesn't give you a shield of protection, something you did 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it could still be great and you can still suck today.
Right.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.